Joe was preaching at, it struck me. We do seek a better country. Yeah. But remember, a country without people is nothing but a ghost town. Right. The people's the problem. It's not the land, the people, you know. But anyway, let me go on to this. You got it on, Joe? Yep. Galatians chapter 3 and 4. I will not read the passage again. But before we go into some of the, not deeper, but, or even greater, but before I go into more of the experience of the adoption, that is, the experience of adoption, what does it mean to experience adoption? The first thing about adoption, and you don't really realize what adoption is until it happens to you, but adoption is God taking us out of bondage and bringing us into liberty.
Amen.
And to reiterate last week, bondage is bondage no matter what kind of bondage it is. You know, I mentioned the preacher who said, I'd rather be a drunk than a legalist. But I don't mean by that I'd rather be a legalist than a drunk.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
Mason, man's logic is, there's always, you know, well, at least this is better than that. It may be on a purely human level.
Yeah.
This may be better than that. You know, I'd rather steal erasers from school than I would be a child molester.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You understand that. But in God's sight, both are crimes against Him.
Amen.
And both are damnable.
Yes.
Both have the death sentence. There would be a lot less crime if the death sentence was carried out for every crime. Wouldn't it? Be a lot less of us. We probably, most of us would be killing off one another.
Oh, yeah.
And then we'd kill one another for killing off one another. But there's one thing about that penalty, God's penalty, death. Yeah. Once that's taken place, there is no more crime.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
In that sense. People talk there was a death penalty, a deterrent. For that person it is.
Yeah. Exactly.
They won't do it ever again.
Yeah.
Will they? And I'm not here to preach politics or whatever that would be called. Talk about bondage. Bondage is bondage. It doesn't matter whether it's legal bondage, whether it's the bondage of idolatry, whether it's the bondage of immorality, or whether it's the bondage of ignorance. Bondage is bondage. And sadly, we being what we are by nature, we're never in simply one kind of bondage. You know what I'm saying? We often think, well, most idolaters are immoral. We especially look back in the Old Testament of the worship of Baal. You know, there was so much immorality, Mason, that came along with that.
Yes, sir.
But let me tell you, even a legalist can be an immoral person.
You're right.
Yeah. That's why Paul in, what is it, Romans chapter 2 says, you tell other people to keep the law, what about yourself?
Yeah.
And somebody says, well, you get up there and tell people not to do this and not to do that. No, God says not to do this or not to do that. I'm just repeating what God says. Take it up with Him if you don't like it.
Exactly.
That's where it stands.
Yeah.
As I've said it in these messages, and I will say it again, I am just a sinner. Saved by the grace of God. But I'm still a sinner nonetheless. And God Almighty has ordained that He will send His truth to a sinner who needs it by another sinner. Doesn't He?
Yeah.
To tell that second sinner that he needs to turn or she needs to turn from their sins. Right?
Yes, sir.
That's what He said. Yeah. You think Nathan was holy? The prophet? You think he never sinned against God? Yet God told that man, go stick your finger in David's face and say, you're the man.
Exactly.
Did He not?
Yes, sir.
Well, who are you to tell me? I'm nobody, but God is creator and judge and king. And it doesn't matter what kind of bondage you're under or whether it is several different facets of different bondage. Bondage is bondage. And let me say this, it doesn't matter whether you're an unbeliever or a believer, if you're under bondage, you're still under bondage.
Exactly.
Some people have this idea, well, as long as I'm one of God's, then I get to go to heaven. You think that's all that it's about? Just getting to go to heaven? We're going to live here on the earth.
Yes, sir.
Not in heaven.
That's right.
Heaven is not my eternal home. A new heaven and a new earth is my eternal home.
Amen.
Isn't that what the scripture teaches?
Yeah.
Most people who want to get to heaven would probably be shocked to find out that's not where they're going to spend eternity.
Exactly.
Is it?
Exactly.
It's amazing. You see, it doesn't matter whether you're ignorant or immoral or you're an idolater or you're a legalist. If you're under bondage, you're under bondage. Period.
Amen.
And the only thing that delivers from that bondage is the free and reigning grace of God Almighty. And it does deliver. Deliverance from bondage is as real as grace itself. Let me go even further. Deliverance from bondage is as real as Jesus Christ himself. He was real. He had flesh and bone. And even blood. Did he not? But now let's look at it. Let's begin to look at the experience of adoption. It's actual deliverance. Three things here I want to try to give to you this morning. First of all, this is the first thing. Let me give you this first, then I'll show you what I'm talking about. We believe a different message than we once did. I don't care if you was raised up under grace. Once God Almighty adopts you into the family, you believe a different message than you believed before.
Yes, sir. That's it.
None of us believe the truth by nature.
Yeah, that's it. Right.
Even though we may be steeped in truth and academically know the truth, you don't believe the truth until God Almighty adopts you into his family.
Exactly.
We all believe a different message from what we used to believe. The first thing, one of the first things that the Holy Spirit convicts men and women about, according to our Lord Jesus Christ, is what? That they believe not on me.
Yes, sir.
Isn't that what it says? They believe not on me. According to the Apostle Paul, look at what he says in 1 Thessalonians. That is, this deliverance is, we're delivered from a false message, a false gospel, whatever you want to call it. But first of all, look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And these men and women in Thessalonica are an example. Paul even says you were in samples, verse 7 of 1 Thessalonians 1. You were in samples to all that believe.
Yes, sir.
In Macedonia and Achaia. And what is the main example? When you look and you bullet down, it comes down to verse 9. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you. And that's that point. That's why God sent one sinner to preach to a bunch of other sinners.
Yeah.
And to tell them they should turn to God. Right?
Yes, sir.
This is why Paul said you became followers of us and of the Lord. He didn't put us first because us is more important. But he said us first because that's where God begins. God's not going to come down to you in your bedroom and reveal to you his truth. Like he did Abraham. Can he do that?
Yes, sir.
Can he do that? Yes, he can. But God's ordained way is through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And who's doing the preaching? Other sinners are.
Yes, sir. That's it.
Because that's the way God's ordained to do it. Why is that? To keep our faces right down in the dirt where they belong. And so that all glory and honor may go where? To the messenger that God sent to you? No. But to him. This treasure, he says, we have in what? Earthen vessels. Why? So basically, all the glory goes to him. But he said, but they themselves show of us what mannering of entering in we had unto you. And let me tell you something. If you don't love and appreciate the people of God more than anybody else in this world, you don't know God. You've missed Jesus Christ.
That's true.
That's just the way it is. That's not my standard. God says if you don't love your brother, whom you have seen? How can you love God whom you have not seen? Period. Period. Well, what if I'm one of the elect? If you're one of the elect, you will love your brother and you'll love God both. God will bring you to that. And he'll bring you to enjoy that. You know? If you got a fight to do it, you ain't really doing it. It flows, not naturally, it flows spiritually. That's the way I should say that. But look, we had unto you, and look, and how ye turned to God. You see that? From idols. And that is important, because you don't try to turn from your idol. It's not, let me put it a different way, what I was going to say. A man doesn't turn from idols and God says, oh, there's a nice one. I believe I'll reveal myself to him.
Exactly.
You see the difference there now?
Yeah.
That's the way men think. That's the way most so-called Christianity thinks today. Well, if somebody will turn away from their drinking, or turn away from their smoking, or turn away from their adultery, or turn away from this or that, then God will look favorably upon them and show them himself. No, what God does is reveal himself to you first, and then all of these other things begin to go down.
That's exactly right.
You begin to see them for what they really are, and you'll find out he is way up here. I can't even reach that high, David. He's way up there, and all of these other things are at best way down here. I mean, if you turn to God just because you want to quit drinking, you can go to an AA meeting and don't have to have that. Can't you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But this is the thought, this is the opinion, this is the message of today. Turn from your idols and God will receive you. No, turn to God from idols, because that's the only way it'll ever really happen. Turn to God first and foremost. But look, this Paul is saying, this was evidenced. People could see this taking place. Now, did they really know it was God? Did all the other Joe heathens around these Thessalonians, did they all say, well, boy, they've turned to God? No, but they knew something had happened, didn't they?
Yes, sir.
For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to do what? Well, I'm just going to believe. I believe the truth. If you believe the truth, you're going to serve it. Because you'll serve him who is truth. To serve the living and what? True God. Because there are false gods. Just like Paul said, there's a false gospel. Or actually false gospels. You turn to the wrong God, your turn is of no avail whatsoever. Well, how can I know which one is? You won't until he reveals himself to you. First and foremost. Then you'll turn to him from your idols. You won't be able to help it. You won't be able to help it. David, you may even try fighting against it, but you won't even be able to help it. Turn to God from idols. We think differently as well. That is, we believe a different message than what we once believed, but we also think differently. And we walk differently. Boy, I thought us grace people, we're always supposed to talk about believing, not walking, right? Right? Because after all, believing, that's where it's all at, right? No, that's not where it's all at. That's where it starts. That's where it's centralized. But that ain't all there is to it. Why? Because God said so. Now look at it, Ephesians chapter 4. We believe a different message. But we believe a different message because God has made us to think differently, and when you think differently, you will walk differently.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Well, you must think you're perfect. Don't be stupid. When somebody says that to me, I automatically think, you're stupid. You don't get it.
Yeah.
This ain't about personal perfection. This is about God in Christ Jesus. Perfection there, not here. But I'll tell you this, By the grace of God, I do think differently and walk differently than what I used to.
Yes, sir.
Now look at what Paul says, Ephesians 4, verse 16. This I say therefore, why? Based upon the purpose of God in His sovereign grace. That's what he says, chapter 4, verses 1, all the way down through verse 16. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth, what? What's that next word? Believe not as other Gentiles believe. Is that what it says? No, it says walk. Why? Because believing changes your walk. Joe, you read it. By faith, so-and-so did what?
Yeah.
Believed God.
Yeah.
And therefore, because they believed God, they acted upon God's word. Right?
That's it. Yeah.
Believing God is not accepting the doctrines. It's bowing to the truth of God. And say, let God be true, and let every man be a liar.
Exactly.
This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. And what's the problem? Just the walk? No. Look, as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their what? Mind. The reason, when God adopts you into His family, you will think differently and therefore you will walk differently.
Yes, sir.
Because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he.
Exactly.
Now what the book says? Yeah. You cannot serve two masters. He didn't say you ought not.
Yeah.
He says you cannot.
Amen.
Therefore, if I do, by God's grace even, David, start to serve God and then turn back to bondage, I've turned away from God.
That's right.
Paul even tells some of them, if you're trying to be justified by the law, by circumcision,
yep,
you've fallen from grace. He didn't say you fell out of it, but you have fallen from it.
That's right.
Well, I believe I'm saved by grace. I don't have to do nothing. Don't be a fool. When God saves you by grace, you will do something. First of all, you'll believe Him.
Yeah.
And then you'll serve Him as well. Henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the emptiness of their mind. You heard the old phrase, airhead? They ain't even airhead. Empty, I mean, air is something.
Exactly.
It has molecules. Whether you can see it or not, Joe, it's real.
Yes, sir.
In the emptiness of their mind, having the what? There's something else God does affect when He adopts you. He starts to give you an understanding.
Yeah.
Doesn't He? Now he's talking here of the negative. Having the understanding what? Darkened. And then it's not just the mind, and it's not just the understanding. Well, if you just teach somebody then, right? If you just teach them, if you just instruct them, they can then come out of that. No, look. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from what?
Yeah.
Being alienated from the life of God. Through the ignorance that is in them. Why? Because of what? Blindness.
Amen.
Because of the blindness of the heart. Who being past feeling. Think about it. That's dangerous ground.
Yes, sir.
Past feeling. Not just weak in feeling. But who being past feeling have given themselves over unto what? Lasciviousness. Well, I'm going to do this if I don't care who tells me otherwise. You may say that to me.
Yeah.
But you will not get away with saying and doing that to God.
Amen.
It don't happen. Who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ.
Amen.
Christ did not free me to serve myself. He freed me to what?
Serve Him.
Amen. Because the bondage was what?
Yeah.
Me serving myself.
Exactly.
That's what legalism is.
Yeah.
That's what idolatry is.
Yes, sir.
That's what immorality is. And that's what ignorance causes. The service of self. But God frees His people. He adopts His people. He takes them from being a child of bondage into being a full-fledged son. Placed as a son. But you've not so learned Christ. Why? How then? If so be that you have heard Him. There is the question. did you really hear him or not? Right?
Yeah.
If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye just believe the doctrines of grace. Is that what it says? That ye put off concerning the former way of life the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts. If you'd rather be in bondage, you're still in bondage.
You're right. That's it.
If you'd rather be in bondage, you're still in bondage. Granted, someone may come along and bewitch you. Those who've been taken out of bondage and been placed into the liberty that's in Christ Jesus by very testimony can be bewitched, but it must be bewitched. Because if you prefer bondage to liberty, you're still in bondage. Because that's just the way it is. This idea of I believe the truth, but I live how I want. No, actually, you'll live how God Almighty foreordained for you to live. That's how you'll live. And then he may damn you for it.
Yep.
Or he may save you from it.
Yes, sir.
Right?
That's it.
He may damn you for it.
Yep.
The Apostle Paul is quite clear when he speaks not just about immorality, but false religion, i.e. heresy. Right? He says that because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the children of disobedience. God Almighty condemns self, ourself, self in us. We believe a different message. We think and we walk differently. Galatians chapter 5, even to these people, look at what he told them. To me, it's almost like Paul said, all right, that's enough. The cutoff line is here. You said you believed the truth at first. You believe the message I preached to you and any other message that's preached unto you than that that I preached unto you. What is it? What is it? It's a perversion. That's the same word we use about child molesters and rapists, right? Perverts. It's a perversion. But look at what he says. You say you believe the truth. All right, you've been bewitched. Someone's tricked you. Someone used sleight of hand on you. Now, if you really have eyes to see, God has sent me to give you this truth. Now look at what he says. Chapter 5, the first part of verse 10. I have confidence in you, how? Through the Lord.
Amen.
That ye will be none otherwise minded.
Amen.
If you're one of God's, he will turn you back away from this bondage. That's what he's saying. And as I gave you last week, when he sums the whole thing up, he says in verse 17 of chapter 6, the last of his words, from henceforth. This is it. The truth's been laid out. You got eyes to see. You got ears to hear. You got a heart to perceive. Then you will.
Amen.
Then you will. When somebody does the sleight of hand, it's hard to keep up with, ain't it? But when somebody then comes along, God sends somebody to open the shells up and shows you where the pea's really at. What happens?
Yeah.
You know where the pea's really at.
Exactly. That's it.
Right?
Yeah.
This idea of, well, I've been one of God's, but I've been falling for 35 years. And God finally brought me around. No, if he brought you around, he brought you around for the first time.
Yes, sir.
And hopefully he'll teach you that in his time. He'll teach you the back yonder was nothing more than false religion, no matter what religion. Oh, I don't care if it's Calvinistic religion.
You're right.
Somebody says, hey, that really happened? Yeah, it's happened even to people right here.
Yes, sir.
That made professions under free sovereign grace and then realized years later it wasn't real.
Yeah.
Now, I know people, it'd be a lot better if I just get up here and preach to y'all a nice Calvinistic sermon, wouldn't it? About here's what we believe. It's a whole lot more comfortable, ain't it? Huh? If you believe Calvinism, it's easy to hear Calvinism.
Yeah.
But if God saved you by his grace, and then you start to ease back under bondage, it's tough when somebody, God sends somebody along and says, listen, that's the same bondage you was out. That's the same. It might be a different brand, but it's bondage nonetheless.
Exactly.
It hurts.
Yeah.
It's tough. Just like it was Jay the first time when he showed you he's in bondage. But the glory of it is that when God Almighty delivers his people, it's always glorious no matter when.
Yeah.
whether it's for the first time or the second or the third or the fourth or the fifth. And here's the point. Anytime I go into bondage, he will bring me back out.
Amen.
What does the scripture say? Though the righteous fall,
yeah,
he shall not be utterly cast down.
Amen.
You turn back to bondage and stay there, you die in bondage, guess where you go?
Yeah.
You go to hell.
Yeah.
No matter what kind of deliverance or liberty you claim to have before. Why? Because I have confidence in you. How? And here's the point. Do you really believe God's sovereign? Then do you believe God can bring you back out of it? Not only can he, but what? He will. Galatians 5 verse 10. Then chapter 6, let me read. I read one part of it. Look at it. Chapter 6, let me read. Look, verse 14. But God forbid that I should glory where? Where's my boast at? But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me. That's true.
Yeah.
Let me put it this way. They don't like us.
Yeah.
They don't like us.
Oh, yeah.
But what else? And I unto the world. Guess what? I don't like them.
Yeah. That's it.
And I ain't kidding with you.
Exactly.
Well, you don't associate with me anymore. Yeah, you're right. And it's not because I'm better than you. It's because God Almighty did something to me. And I don't like you anymore. How's them apples? And you probably didn't like me from the get-go, but nevertheless, it don't matter, does it? I know like some people, their faith can't take them that far. You know why? Because it ain't God's faith given to them. But when God Almighty shows you grace, he brings you out. You come to that place, Jay, where you know you're a stranger and a pilgrim in this world. You can feel it. You can taste it. You can see it. I have very few friends, though I have many acquaintances. And I have but one family, though I have many kinfolk. You know? I mean, I have men that come in off the street, as we say, where I work. And they come in to get their stuff. Pendleton. Do you know so-and-so, Pendleton? You know, and everybody likes to say, oh, yeah, the Pendletons I'm from. You know, one of them was a mayor or whatever. And I used to say, were they a chicken thief? Was one of them maybe a prostitute? And these guys look at me like, you know. I said, well, that's probably my brand of Pendletons right there. I told Dave and Elizabeth and Penny this the other evening. I told a fellow I work with, I said, I'm a drunk. And you know what he looked at? He looked at me and said, but you're a preacher. I said, but in the flesh, I'm nothing but a drunk. They don't get it, Joe. They don't get it. But why do you say that about yourself? Think about this. Joe read it. Every time but one that I have found so far, God mentions Rahab. He calls her still what? A harlot. Now, did she keep whoring? No. We would see that she got married. She had a child, you know? But God still calls her, even the New Testament, a whore. And I said this once time, and I'll say it before. I want to be God's whore. Now, you think about that. You think about that. I didn't say I want to be a whore. I want to be God's whore. Because God saves sinners. And you and I are still everything. Well, we think, we believe differently, we think differently, we walk differently, but we are still in the flesh everything we once was.
That's right.
Back before and while we were in bondage. My flesh is still just as corrupt and evil as it ever was. And all it takes is for God's sovereign providence to permit for a moment me to walk in the flesh. I manifest that very fact. I didn't say God, you know, I've said before, God takes his hand off of you. He don't ever take his hand off of somebody he's put his hand on.
That's right.
Does he? As a matter of fact, the scripture puts it this way, that men fall, God's people fall, and they fall where? Into his hand.
Yeah.
And the whole point is almost like this. That's the way the Hebrew puts it.
Yeah.
It's like this. God's got you up here, and God's got you down here. And you may fall, but you can't fall any further than what? God's hand. God's hand. Now, I know what I've just said. Some will take it totally out of context. But you know what? I don't care. Just as our Lord Jesus Christ said, he said, John the Baptist came and he didn't drink liquor and he didn't drink eat the fine food of the wealthy. Right? Yep. And that I've come and I drink wine and I eat the food of the common man and you're still not satisfied.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. Isn't that what he said?
Yeah.
John was a teetotaler. Jesus Christ weren't, but they didn't care for either one of them.
Exactly.
Right? Because it's not what I do that makes the difference. It's the message of God that makes the difference. And Joe, if they don't have faith mixed with the message, it ain't going to profit them.
Exactly.
I'll just use what you just said. You understand that? Because that's where it's at. Let me see where I'm at. 6:14. Look. And I am to the world, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision. What does avail? What does matter? What is the difference?
Yes.
What makes the difference? A new creature.
Amen.
A new creature. Look, and as many as. No more, but certainly what else, Jay? No less. And as many as. Whoa, uh-oh, there it is again. What? Walk. Well, my walk don't matter. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Because walk manifests the heart. Somebody said, but I have to repent so much. But repentance is prerequisite. The prerequisite to repentance is what? Failure. Repentance is a gift of God. God doesn't say you can't fall. He just says you don't fall away. Right? The difference is not, well, God's people never fall. These Galatians did. They had fallen from grace. Right? But I'll tell you what, they couldn't fall away if they were His. Why? Because Paul's persuaded of them. What? Of the Lord. Shall be none otherwise minded. But not only this, think about it. Not only do we believe different and we think different and we walk different than we once did, but we reject lies and those who propagate it. Right? Go back now to Galatians 5. I read you the first part of the verse, verse 10. I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will be none otherwise minded, but what? The doctrine that troubleth you. Is that what he says? No, he says, but he, the person, the individual or individuals.
Yes, sir.
I don't care if it's your mommy or your daddy. If they propagate lies, they are of the devil. Lies are of the devil.
Yes,
no matter who it is. But he that troubleth you shall what? Well, maybe we just pray that God will show him mercy. Is that what Paul said? No. But he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment. It don't matter who he is. Now what it says? Whosoever he be.
Amen.
He started out with whoever's teaching this perversion, let him be accursed.
That's right.
That's tough language. But that's the work of grace in the heart. You find out that there are people in this world that are your enemies, and they may even be your flesh and blood. They may live in your house. But they're an enemy of the truth. They're an enemy of God. And they're your enemy too. Because while they smile at you, they hold a dagger behind their back. You know that? Don't you kid yourself. I've been there. And it ain't because I'm righteous. I've been there. I've had that dagger, David, run right up in my spine and into my heart. Someone you think believe, they might even profess to believe the truth for years and then do what? Turn from it. We've had it happen right here in our little group. We ought to forgive them. No. God ain't brought them back, David. Why should I forgive them? Right? God brings them back. He bows them down. Guess what? We forgive them.
Yes, sir.
But until they do, or unless they do, they're under the judgment of God as far as we are concerned. Right? That's where you got to leave it. Christ said, "A man, if any man love the world or the things of the world, the love of the Father is not in him." That includes the people and the things in the world.
That's right.
"Well, I don't like what you preach." What else don't you like about what I preach? Huh? Come on now. "Your enemies will become those of your own household."
Amen.
Christ said it might be your mommy, it might be your daddy, it might be your brother, it might be your sister, it might be your cousin, it might be your uncle, it might be your aunt, it might be an in-law, but they're going to be your enemies. And an enemy is an enemy.
Yes, sir.
Just like bondage is bondage.
Yes, sir.
Right? You remember what David said, "My own familiar friend."
Yeah.
Right? I don't forget the guy's name now. He stuck the, not literally, Job, but metaphorically, he stuck the dagger in David's back.
Yeah.
And what can you do when that happens? Believe Christ.
Amen.
You know, believe Christ. I thought, when is it that men will desire to flee from bondage? And I've went a little longer, but I'll try to end up with it. When is it that they will? And I'm talking about whether they're not converted and God will convert them, or even if they've been converted and been bewitched. When will men flee from bondage? When they see something better. Men flee to what they think is better. Don't they? Men flee to what is better. Henry Mahan gave an illustration of this. I think it actually occurred, the way I understand it. I don't know that Henry seen it, but someone told a story about an event that they had witnessed. And said there was this little boy. And they were in a restaurant. And this restaurant had these ears of roasted corn soaked in butter. And if anybody likes butter-soaked corn, you know the draw. And said that little boy, like a little one, he was a little fella, and was sitting at the table with his mom and dad, and he was eating that roasted ears of corn, that butter just running down everywhere. And said finally came time to go, and that boy's still there gnawing on the cob. You know, still chewing on it. And his daddy said, "Well, come on, son, we got to go." The little boy wouldn't go, you know. You know how kids do. "No, I ain't going to go. I ain't going to let go of this cob. You know, let's go." And Henry said he didn't want to just whack him. You know, in public, especially, you got to watch for that today. And he just didn't. He pleaded with him and begged with him and cajoled with him. And that little boy just what? Held on to that corn cob with that butter on it. Why? Because it felt so good. Tastes so good.
Yeah.
Said the owner of the restaurant, seeing what was happening, walked over and got something out of the counter, from under the counter, and walked over to the little boy. He said he walked up to the little boy and handed him a Hershey bar. He said that little boy dropped that corn just like that.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Now, you might prefer corn to the Hershey bar, but you know what the story is. So that little boy dropped that corn just like that and reached out for that Hershey bar. When is it that men will stop slobbering around on legalism, idolatry, immorality, or ignorance? It's when God shows them Jesus Christ for who he really is. And they'll drop that corn on the cob in a heartbeat.
Yes, sir.
And it will not happen otherwise.
Exactly.
And if someone's come along and tricked you, and you're one of God's, and you've even been adopted, and someone's tricked you to start down the wrong path, it will take another revelation, a new and fresh view of Jesus Christ. But when God does, you will drop your corn on the cob. You know that? You will. Because the Hershey bar to me, David, is better. Christ is better to those who know him.
Exactly.
You see, if you'd rather have the corn on the cob than the Hershey bar, you might as well stay with the corn on the cob. You understand what I'm saying?
That's it.
I've said this. Earl said this. Some people think, "Walter, you're tough." No, Earl was tough too. If you'd rather be somewhere else, what did Earl say? You might as well be there.
That's right. That's exactly it.
That's right. Because we're not doing this trying to get you to be like me or to be like Joe or to be like somebody else. We are saying this is where it's at when it comes to God being satisfied and pleased. Christ is all.
Amen.
He's all. He's everything.
Yes, sir.
Now either he will have the preeminence or God will condemn you.
Yes, sir.
That's right. He will have the preeminence, even in your life, in what you believe, in what you think, and what you live. He will have the preeminence, or God will damn you.
Amen.
Because this ain't just about, well, you know, believing these doctrines. Look, if anyone who professes Christ finds themselves slipping back again up under the weak and beggarly elements, what's the answer? To look at the elements? No, it's to look to Christ.
Amen.
And if you can't see Him, you'll stay where you're at. If you can, you will flee from the bondage to Jesus Christ. Won't you?
Yeah.
Why? Because men flee to without question. They hold to. They take up. They love. They believe. They walk in. They serve what they think is best. And if you think legalism is better, that's what you'll be. A legalist.
Oh, yeah.
If you think idolatry is better, that's what you'll be. An idolater. If you think immorality is better, you'll be immoral.
Yeah.
If you think ignorance is better, you'll remain there.
Yeah.
You see, Christ was not trying to do these things. Christ redeemed, past tense. Christ reconciled, past tense. Christ justified, past tense. Christ satisfied divine justice, past tense.
Amen.
That's the difference between the message out there and our message. We preach a salvation that's been accomplished.
Amen.
They're preaching a salvation that you can have if you do this or you do that. But I'll tell you this, since Christ has redeemed, has reconciled, has justified, then when He does save you, guess what? You will do.
Yes, sir.
You will believe differently. You will think differently, and you will walk differently. And if you don't, you're a bastard.
That's it.
You're illegitimate. You're not a, you're right, David. You're not a what? He uses that word right there in Hebrews, a son.
Exactly.
Well, maybe I'm one of the elect. Maybe you are. And maybe you're not.
That's it.
The only way to have any idea if you are one of the elect is you go from a child under bondage to what? Being a son.
Yeah.
You know what the scripture teaches?
Yes, sir.
Father, we pray that these things will be taught us by your Spirit. And not just taught us academically or doctrinally, but by the experience of your free reigning grace. And we know that it will be. And give you honor and glory for the fact that it will be to your name's honor and glory, and that we will have no boast whatsoever. I thank you in Christ's name. Amen.